This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
I don't have much to say this week as a soft open. I really just want to get into this one. This is one I've been looking forward to doing. I do want to say, Andrew, obviously you ain't get the message last week. You know, you're still a problem, and it's going to be addressed. So be looking out.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
What's ready?
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Bittersweet. Even though you're not good for me, today I'm lost. Tomorrow we will see. I used to dream about the things I want to be. The life in me.
Down. How do I smile? All right, anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pan Society. And got to thank you first and foremost for tuning in. Appreciate you. Not going to hold you too much with the intro stuff because I want to get into this conversation. But yeah, again, thanks for listening. This week, I got one of, you know, a person I consider a good friend, somebody who, you know, who checked in on me and looked out for me, and somebody I've known since like the beginning of my podcast journey. But I got Jay from the Just Say Words podcast, the Pod Dealers Network Saturday Series podcast here with me. What's going on with you, man?
What's up, man? First things first, hi, Rhapsody. also, hi, to Bria Majors. How are y'all?
Okay, okay.
How you doing? Yeah. Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Maintaining. It's been 200 plus days and still no word from Rhapsody, but try not to let it get me down, you know, trying to push through it. Man,
for
yeah.
Sure.
So I went ahead, I picked that song, one, because I think it's dope, and I just got introduced to it, but that's a group, I think, called Salt. I think they're from overseas, like London or something like that, but I found out about the song through a post from Questlove, you know, the Philly connection, so I felt like it fit, like it was appropriate, but that's a dope album, Salt. I think the album name is Nine. They don't all sound like that. It's a lot of different genres in there, but it's a pretty dope album.
Yeah, the last two EPs before them, I think they were, or they did something where they dropped like a double album the same day. Like they released two different albums on the same day. I think that was early this year or late last year.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all should definitely check them out. I recommend. I got them on a couple of playlists. I think they got a song called Wildfire too, and it's pretty dope. So yeah. Definitely go play that. Run them numbers up.
Yeah, man. They got one on this album. Because I'm just getting into them. I had no idea who they were until Questlove made the post. And they got one on the album called You From London or something like that. And it's a dope song. And it's hilarious because it's just like them addressing the way people treat them when they find out they're from London. Like they expect. Talking about, you know, do you go see the Queen? You know, have you met her? And shit like that. Do you ride horses?
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
Yeah.
Us Americans have got to work on that. You gotta stop saying dumb shit to people. It's unnecessary.
No, that's true. Yeah, and stop stealing their slang. Like, just be that whole bottle of water joke. We get it. It's enough of that. Yes, they call the subway the tube. Like, that's cool, but
chips. Not, oh, like a
yeah. Silly.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I will do a quick Chef Elise rundown. I did have her. You know, this week we didn't do any cooking. It was my fault. Dad mistakes. I had this whole plan to make a chocolate pudding in my Instapot, which is my new thing. Like I'm doing the teas, I'm doing all this stuff. Now I'm doing Instapot recipes. So we was gonna make chocolate pudding. And I read the recipe for all the ingredients you were supposed to have. I didn't read the recipe for all the like utensils and tools you were supposed to have. So I think I don't have a 9-inch cake pan, a round cake pan or something like that. So that killed the whole pudding concept. I don't think she was too excited about it anyway. She wanted to make slime, so that's what we ended up doing. But
yeah, man. Yeah, I would much rather play with slime than chocolate pudding. It also, to be honest, their whole family's not just like, I mean, generations of people who don't have a Nine Inch Cake fan. Like, that's something that kind of gets hand. I don't know anybody who's ever bought a new one. Everybody's always like, I got this from my grandma. Like, it's just like it gets passed down to people. Don't be like, I'm about to hit the store. Like, I consciously had to go to the store to buy a Bundt cake pan because I was making pound cake. But realistically, the Bundt cake pan that my mom had, she got it from her mom. Like, and I would never consciously make Bundt cake on my own. I was like, I have to buy one of these. This feels weird.
Yeah, I think I got a Bundt cake pan. That did get passed down to me. But I can see why nobody has a new one, because they, for some reason, are the most difficult thing to find. They're not difficult to find. I can have one shipped, but like, I like same. I'm spoiled. I'm super bougie these days. I like same day, and for whatever reason, like 9-inch round cake pans and 8x8-inch bacon dishes, like, are just not available for same day delivery. I can get every other size of anything you could think of, but those two, for whatever reason, I can't get them same day. And if I can't get it the same day, I'm not waiting 2 days. Like, I'm just,
that's yeah,
where
no,
I'm at. First world problems. That's where I'm at.
No, for sure. I'm super spoiled. If I don't get it by the next day, I'm finna throw a tantrum. I want to talk to somebody's manager.
Exactly. If you want to offer the service, anyway.
Yeah, no, for sure.
man, so yeah, you know, just catching up with you, like, Father's Day just passed. We had a brief, you know, conversation before we started recording about, like, just the struggles of black daddom or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely tough, right? Like, so for those of you that follow Just Say Words, so 2 years ago, my pops passed. Now, he passed in February, but the thing about it was, and you have to go listen to the story. I think it's called 128 Days Later. But for some reason, I had been calling my dad, and he was not answering the phone. And then in June, on Father's Day, his now wife, then wife, late wife, I don't know what we call it. But anyway, she decided to let me know, oh, yes, your father has died. But when he died, it was in February. So there was this 4-month gap where I just did not know that my pops was dead. So Father's Day hits a little different. Yeah. For me, every couple of years, and this is kind of like the first year of doing it, right? And so, realistically, I think the one thing that I commend, like, seeing a lot of black fathers on the timeline, I thought was really dope. But it was also this thing where I kind of was in my feelings, because I think, like, the last conversation I had with my dad was like, you know, how we were trying to, like, repair our relationship and get, like, closer. So it was kind of one of those things, like, in that moment where I was kind of like, oh, damn, like, it's not that it was taken from me, but it was one of those things that, like, I tried not to take too personally, but it was a moment to reflect. And also, like, black dads are dope, and I don't know if they get as much credit as I feel like they should, right? And when I say that, I'm not saying that from, like, women need to give us credit. I mean, just, like, societally and, like, amongst each other, just being like, "Yo, you're a dope dad, man." Like, just kind of saying that to each other. So I try to make it an effort to like, you know, tell my homies that they're dope fathers, and show them some support if possible, for real.
It's a crazy thing. It feels like fathers are simultaneously extremely vital and then 100% unnecessary at the same time, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, it they really, I don't know. Like, I go through it now where it seems like everything dope that my daughter does is like, that comes from her mom. Like, if she do something crazy, she do something stupid, she mess up, she say something crazy, that's probably me. And I take it and own it, like it's a joke or whatever. But I really feel like, yeah, we have this sort of like mythology behind fatherhood that just, I don't know, something about being a dude, like, everything negative or evil or whatever comes from you, and then you gotta, like, figure out how to tame it as you get older. And hopefully you have a, you know, one of those magical old black men that pops out of nowhere and tells you and warns you when you get ready to do something stupid, you know, because
yeah,
just being a dude in general is wrong. And I think that's a good, like, segue into the first thing I wanted to talk to you about. And that was sort of the post you put on Twitter that kind of sparked, you know, the idea of us having doing this episode was this person. I'ma say it's Tila Tequila because that's what everybody else is saying, and I don't know no better. I'm out the loop, but basically, them. This is a non. She seems ethnic, but she's not black. And apparently, she called somebody a nigga. I don't know who, but she did. I haven't seen that clip. But what we do have is the clip of her explaining where it came from. I'm going to play that real quick.
When I was making those videos, that was just the demonic spirits from my ex that I slept with because I took on all his demons, right? Because when you sleep with unclean people, you have the demonic, unclean, STDs, sexually transmitted demons. So I became one with him. So then I had the spirit of rebellion in me. So that's why I was saying I was trying to be as profane as possible, vulgar as possible. That's why I was obviously, you know, you could see it was very contrived. Like,
yeah, so basically, I don't know, her reason behind her actions was the demons that she took on from having sex with a dude. I don't know if the ethnicity of the dude is known, but it feels like it's hinted at that he was black. Or maybe he was a racist white dude. They said nigga all the time and passed it on. I don't really know.
Ooh, yeah, I didn't think about that. But okay, I like this. I like where that's going.
But no, it feels like where we are right now, especially with everything I wake up every morning and see on social media. And I will say I do see a lot of dope posts from women and from just anybody in general. The Black Boy Joy movement is pretty cool. And then, you know, I do see posts from women saying, you know, black men, we love you, or just men in general, we love you and there for you. But I see a lot that just makes it seem like masculinity, of itself, is just evil. And like everything wrong in the world can be somehow traced back to masculine energy, and it needs to be tamed and reined in or something. And even when you see like a woman or something mess up or do something, it somehow is the result of something that was done to her or passed on to her or given to her from a dude. It's like, I just wake up every day feeling like I'm evil and I got to fix myself somehow. And it's just fucking crazy. I don't know. That's what I got the moment I saw this video, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Wow, that's
my bad.
All right, no. I mean, because no, there's the thing. I felt like that a couple weeks ago. Like, I felt like, I think I had tweeted this maybe back a few months, and I was like, you can kind of spot when somebody is getting on there, like, I hate men shit today. So I wake up fairly early. Like, I wake up fairly early. I'm normally up like 5-ish, 5:30-ish. And I'm normally just kind of like, you know, doing my normal morning routine, and then I'll kind of jump on to see like whatever I missed while I was sleeping or whatever. And then it's really peaceful. And then like around 8 o'clock, somebody wakes up and just be like, aren't men terrible? and then everybody else who's waking up is like, let me tell you about this time. This one man did this thing and why I hate all of them. Right. And so like, so I've started this thing like, hey, just because three people did this to you, or you saw three people say this thing to you, or you just saw three people do something, that does not mean everybody's doing it. And I think that's the, I can't tell if it's the pandemic coupled with social media, but it feels like I'm constantly being like, all men, everybody's like all men. And then, you know, we get caught in it and then we say, well, not me. And then they're like, then I ain't talking to you. Okay. You know what? I kind of get caught up in the all part. So, yeah. I just wanted to kind of defend myself. Now, as far as this Tila Tequila woman, getting the Uncle Ruckus spirit in her, I don't really know what's up with her, because I don't believe in this sex demon shit. I feel like this is that new, we can't put a finger on it because it feels like people talk about astrology or demons or some other shit that happens to them, so they get to duck accountability. Like, you know, I chose to sleep with mad women because it's generational. So, you know, my pops did it. And I like doing it. Nah, sometimes we just like different women. That's just kind of the thing that we're into. It's cut and dry. but if it feels like you got me red-handed up against something, the quickest way to fight against that is to be like, hey, some unknown spirit thing touched me. And that's why I was out here cussing and being racist in public. I know y'all saw the video of me saying nigga a lot, but check this out. A demon got me.
A demon. From get a off dude.
My back about.
And it came from a dude, so.
Like, yeah.
100% my thing is like, not my fault.
But also, like, also, you got, how did the demons, like, I guess we need a deeper conversation or somebody who deals with these demons. Because are there vaginal, is that how they get in, vaginal demons? Like, they come in through, they coming in, getting in your body and being like, oh, yeah, you know, not like, because you can just catch the Holy Ghost just by standing around. So, apparently, if you get a sex demon, it's stronger than condoms, apparently. It's come in. And just, is it like, can you get it different ways? Like, is it, if you wear a condom, you won't get one? Like, I don't know how that works. Like, how do you get a demon, a racist sex demon in your body? How does that work?
That is, they haven't done enough research on this, man. It's the same way Everybody's up in arms against vaping because they don't know the long-term effects. But apparently y'all ain't done the research on shit, but you still allow that to go on because you don't know the long-term effects of, I don't know, fucking the wrong dude. I don't know, man. I get tired of taking L's for just everybody on a daily basis. Like it's just crazy. It's crazy how much stuff is like just our fault. I'm glad you have a son. I have a daughter, and I almost am. I'm grateful that I have a daughter. I love my little girl, but I'm almost like it's like I don't know how I would raise a boy. Like I, you know, Talib had a line. He was more talking about like racism and like the police. Like, you know, how do you give your son pride and then tell him to swallow it all? Like, but that that resonates with me in like these situations. Like, how do you teach a little boy to be a man or what masculinity is, and then like also avoid, like, I don't know, him falling into the trap of believing that masculinity or his masculinity again like inherently is wrong and he needs to like not be so masculine. I don't know, like this is crazy. Like I'm a Neanderthal for real. Like I really don't feel like the way I was raised like can exist anymore. As I am really on a daily basis trying to adapt and figure out like how to be who I'm supposed to be now, like how to be a stand-up guy these days. I saw a post not too long ago about somebody saying that they no longer use the words sir or madam when talking to people until they had a conversation with somebody about their pronouns. And like it just, and again, I don't ever start a conversation with the intent of being offensive. But it's like I need someone to understand that in the 39 years I've been alive, I have watched sir or madam go from something that you said out of respect to something that you avoid out of respect. And that's crazy. Like, that's crazy. And I have to adjust to that. So, like, give me that space to adjust before you call me a demon.
No, for sure. I mean, oh, yeah, that's all of it's multi-layered. So, the most of my nephews, my kid, everything else, I'm not hands-off. Hands-off is not the right word, but I guide them softly through these things, right? I think, like you said, like in our age or in our age group, there were these dudes that we perceived to be manly men, right? Yeah. And I didn't turn out like any of them. Like I say this more often, and I've said this to like my therapist, I've said this on the podcast, I've said this a bunch of times, is I never grew up knowing the man I wanted to be. I grew up knowing the man I didn't want to be.
Yeah.
Like, so it was like dudes around who womanized, were abusive, bouts with addiction, things like that. And I mean like bad, not like in a way, but even like the addiction was like, just, you know, as they sat in a room and drank all day, it was like they would become completely different people. Like they were just, so it would be that thing. Like my, you know, my uncle kind of the same thing. I tell this story now. I mean, my uncle's passed, but like he was abusive in a way to women. Okay, so first off, this is dumb. This is like things that dumb men do, right?
Yeah.
So he dated two different women, but their names were similar, and got mad because one of, he was telling a story about the other one. No, it's hilarious. It's a hilarious story. But before we get to the he hitting her, all of it is silly because he dated a woman named Yvonne and then dated a woman named Yvette. So he's telling the story to Yvonne about something he did with Yvette. So that's the thing. Like, the story is just being like him being mad. Like, you don't remember. I know I took you over here. And I'm like, and as like a kid watching this happen, I'm like, I'm trying to do the thing. Like, nah, that wasn't her. We was all there. That's not you telling the story to the wrong person. And then it got like obviously escalated because now it's hands on. But you're like, yo, I know I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, what are the parameters, right? Like nobody ever tells us the parameters of being a dude, right? They just tell you to stop doing something. I remember being just a kid and skipping and it was fine. And then one day I was skipping and some dudes were like, hey, yo, don't do that no more. And I was like, I can't skip now? Well, we're not allowed to skip. Nah, don't do that. I was, oh, all right. So it was a lot of that now. So like, I look at the stuff now where like dudes dyeing their hair, painting their nails, all the other stuff. And like, I have to pay attention to like what it's like for like the teenage boys that are younger than them that watch these things, and also kind of give them that space to be like, yeah, it's cool if you want to paint your nails. Hey, bro, like if you want to do that, like it doesn't mean anything. And I think that's the part, like, that's the part where I don't want to police how they find joy. And that's the part for me is like, yo, yeah, you couldn't do that stuff. It doesn't mean anything. Opposed to when we were younger, like if you told somebody like when we were younger, you wanted to do that, it would be all types of name calling and all types of other stuff. And then also like kind of the same thing with pronouns. I got wrote up at work at my old job because it came out in a meeting or something like that. But like my boss, she was new, but she was giving out action items. And I was just like, they were for me. And I was like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I've worked the majority in the South. I've been around lots of Southern people. So I've always picked up that yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, sir kind of situation. I did some time in the military. So that was kind of that thing. It was easy. She pulled me to the side and by pulled me to the side, like hit me off in a separate like channel and was like, you don't have to say yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am and no, ma'am. And I was like, oh yeah, it's cool. I think that she thought I was saying it in a way of being condescending. I was just like, it's kind of ingrained in me.
Right.
So then it became this whole I'm gender nonconforming, this kind of thing. And it was like, but it was too late. I'd already done a bunch of yes, ma'ams and no, ma'ams in the meeting. So now we're having this conversation that she doesn't identify as a woman. I don't know. As a woman, I guess this is what I don't know what. And I'm with you. I don't know if that's my right. And I don't know. I guess that's a conversation. And I don't want to be in a way of just being like, I'm just a neighbor, but what I see you as is what I will respond to you as. Right. So like, all right, cool. Unless you say, right. Like I'm not, it's hard for me to hold back a yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, or yes, sir, no, sir. If I think that my brain is telling me I'm talking to a man, right, or I'm talking to a woman, because it's really it's really only like a couple checkpoints that I need, and then I'm like, yeah, I think that's a lady. yeah, I'm just like, I feel safe in saying no. Yes, ma'am. And so yeah, that it's that thing where you're like, you shouldn't have did that. And I know, when would you have that? Like, when would you have that conversation realistically, like in a real space? Like if you were out, you out to dinner and the waitress, you presume is a waitress,
right,
says like, hey, yeah, thanks, ma'am. And it's like, no, we need to have a conversation about pronouns before I bring your entrees out. Like, what? Yeah. What's happening right now?
Even these days, even the word waitress is what, like a microaggression. Like, you know, like you are now attaching a gender to the thing. Like everybody's a waiter, you know, like there should be no actress, okay. You know, everybody's an actor or something. Like you don't attach a gender to anything. I, you know, and I'm trying to understand these things. And again, like you said, like it is you talking about defeating, you know, 39 years of something that I did thinking I was being respectful, like not something that I did, you know, that was a habit of me not giving a fuck about your feelings. Like, this is a habit that, you know, has been built out of me being taught to be respectful to people. And so now I have to, like, unlearn that. That's almost more difficult to unlearn than, you know, something that you consider to be a bad habit. Like, but yeah, no, it's crazy. I did one of that. Some of the things you said kind of led me to another thing I wanted to talk to you about is because, you know, one of the things I identify as, like, masculine, like, I've said this before, like, the most masculine thing to me you can do is not give a fuck about what anybody thinks about what you're doing. Like, you know, if, you know, part of being a man is, like, not being so concerned about somebody saying something that you're doing is not manly. Like, if you know you a man, then, you know, who cares? But I struggle with that. And so there's a couple of things that I admire that I've seen, you know, you do recently. And they're going to sound stupid when I point them out, but, like, these are struggles that I literally have in terms of what I feel like I can and cannot do or I can and cannot do publicly. So one is the journey with the hair. Like, I keep the low cut. See, I go to the barbershop every 2 weeks and it's the same thing, you know, even all around, keep it dark. That's it. That's all I know to do. That's all I've ever done. And I want to, like, do some different shit with my hair. I think you talked about your son wanting a mohawk. You know, and I had homies that did stuff and I thought it looked cool, and I just can't, like, I can't get out of the space of, like, this is the way my hair is supposed to look, and I don't know how I'm gonna be perceived if I try to do something different, or, you know, am I just being weird for the sake of being weird? And so, like, yeah, just watching the whole, like, you know, journey that you've gone through with your hair and, like, products or going to get your hair, you know, redone or whatever, like, like, the first time I had to make an appointment with a barber, like, that messed with me. Like appointments is for girl. Like, you don't make hair appointments to get your hair cut. Like, that's like going to the salon. That's not cool. You know, I've adjusted because that's the only way to get my hair cut now. But, like, it's just those little, like, unwritten rules to manhood. Like you said, somebody just, it was fine until one day somebody was like, nah, you don't do that. And you're like, okay, I guess I don't do that because I'm not supposed to.
Right.
How has that been? Have you caught any, you know, flack for the hair thing? Or, you know, how did you even get to the space where you're like, I'm going to do this and, like, talk about it?
So I think that's the thing. Like, for me, going into it by myself, I probably would end up cutting my hair. So the pandemic really kind of helped. It helped push that thing. Cause I had been wanting to grow my hair out. I had always kind of wanted to, but respectability politics is the thing that got me. Like, my mom owned a salon and, well, she owned two salons, but the main one we was at all the time, it was men and women getting their hair done in there all the time. Right. And so I was almost getting my hair cut because my hair grows fast. I would get my hair cut like every week. And then once I got on my own, it was, you know, your hair grow a little bit and somebody's on you. My grandfather was very old school, so he didn't like no facial hair except for a mustache. He was in the military. He was like an army dude. And so kind of that same thing. And then once I got into the military, it was the same thing. Keep your hair cut, stay clean, all the other stuff. So being out in the world, even like when I first grew my beard out, a lot of the stuff that happened to me was really based on like finances. Like, I remember growing my beard out because I had no money. So, like, I don't know if people remember, but like haircuts and beard trims used to be two separate charges. There wasn't a single charge.
Yeah.
So I used to only have enough money just to get my hair cut. So I like, look, man, I got this 25 and you can make it work, but I'll just figure out what to do with my beard. Right. Like, I'll trim it myself or something. And those are just times of making like next to nothing for real. And, I ended up letting my beard grow and it kind of stayed like that. Like, now I was thinking about that the other day. Like, I have to go back a really long ways to look at the picture where I don't have a beard. So it was kind of like the same thing. So once the pandemic hit, I think my barber had caught COVID really early, like before they had announced it.
Yeah.
And then so once things got shut down, he was just like, I ain't gonna be cutting hair for a while. So it was just trying to figure out stuff to do. And so that kind of helped like the first couple months of me just growing my hair and figure out what to do. I think the thing that opened my eyes to what it was like or what it was, why it was different was I wasn't getting my hair twisted. I was just, I was sponge brushing my hair, but getting product to go to, like, constantly going to the beauty supply store and being in there every week with all the Black women and the Asian folks, like, that was the thing that kind of made me be like, this is a different world. Like, I hadn't been in there. Like, I hadn't been in a beauty supply store as a grown-up. Like, I went, you know, I got a sister and all the other stuff where I go with my mom. Like, you running in there, you're not really paying no attention because you're just with the person. But going in there for yourself to be like, this thing. And also being really conscious about, like, you know, spending money with Black-owned companies and all the other stuff. So that was the whole thing. So growing my hair out at one point, once kind of things kind of leveled out, I really thought about cutting it. I was like, oh, I'm going to cut it. And then once we started, like, twisting in and it started growing, and I was like, all right, cool. Then, like you said, like, going to the salon or going to, you know, like, a place to go, like, legit get it locked up from a loctician was different because, like you said, you know, we get in the barbershop, we talk about the playoffs, we talking about,
right.
You know, the world, this, that, that. I'm in there, they twisting my hair up, they talking about they men, they talking about love and hip hop or crystals and what's your sign, what time was you born, like all that, what's your star rising, a moon rising sign or whatever. Man, I don't know nothing about that, man. Just twist me up so I can go, bro. like you said, it's a whole different world because
right.
You go to the barbershop, if you make an appointment, you could be in and out 30 minutes, 45 minutes, depending on your setup. I am now spending 2 to 3 hours in here any given time to get my hair fully done. And it's a whole nother world, dog. It's like, yo, fam, I don't even, so like, this is also one of those things where like, I appreciate what women go through. I appreciate this stuff. And I'm like, damn, I really feel for them. Like they really got to get this done and they really burn up their days off in here.
Nah, it's crazy to me. Like I don't, have you seen the thing with the barber? Like, was it like the lip challenge or something where the barber like, yeah, runs his finger across the dude's lips?
Yeah, and, I'm not with that.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, that's like what I don't think, if you're not a dude, you don't understand like the logistics of the barbershop. Like, I don't remember anybody explaining to me not to make eye contact with your barber. But that's how I live. I'm in the barbershop and we can be having a full-on conversation, everything. He's in my face and we both somehow understand how to adjust our gaze at the appropriate moment so that at no point do we lock eyes. Like, it's just not necessary. Like, as soon as I get out the chair, and we dapping it up and here's your money and see you next week. Of course I'm looking at you. I'm looking dead at you. But when I'm getting my hair cut, I can't look you in the eye. And you got to be worried. You know, but nobody had that discussion with me. It just became something I understood to do. And I have no idea how other people operate differently. And I'm trying to understand where these things came from. Do I need to keep them? Do I need to let them go? You know, how would I go about letting them go? Why do I care so much? Like, it's weird to me. Go ahead.
No, I think, so the other thing too about the barbershop versus the salon is like, there's these unwritten rules of people having their genitals pressed against you that nobody talks about. So like, you've definitely, all of us have, every dude, I don't care how straight, whatever the word is you want to use, at some point, somebody's dick has been on your arm, your hand, your shoulder, been very close to your body, right?
We try not to talk about it, though.
Right. It's one of those things. Yeah, it's like one of those things you just like, yo, it just comes with the territory. We don't, whatever. It's kind of the same thing as at the salon too. It's like at some point, somebody's boob is gonna get smashed against your head. You're just like, all right, I don't know if I'm supposed to say something.
Right.
And so like, yeah, that like mischievous man piece or like the part where I just tell jokes about everything is in my brain. Like, I really want to tell her that her underwire is poking me in my temple. But I really want my hair to look really nice. So whatever, we'll just deal with it. Or the same thing, like, I really want him to not put his balls on my shoulder, but I know my fade is about to look fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, it's one of those things.
Man, have you ever, gone into a barbershop or salon, but you ever walked into the barbershop or salon and like seen the person getting ready to do your hair, like in the middle of like a heated conversation on the phone, and be like, fuck, I want to cancel because their head not in the right space. This is not, like, I need you to be focused right now. I need you to be happy. I don't need you to be worried about whatever it is y'all talking about, your visitation, whatever that is. I need that to go away for the next, you got like 2 or 3 hours. I'm talking like 30 minutes. Like, just erase that for 30 minutes so you can focus on this lineup, dude, because I got to deal with that for the next 2 weeks if you fuck this up.
Yeah, no, that happened to me when I was younger, not so much as an adult, but like, yeah, I went to the barbershop fresh after my barber just came from a fist fight. And I was like, oh, what? And I don't know if he won or lost, but he was bloody when I got there. Yeah. I was like, I can come back. I can come back. At the salon, it has happened. Somebody had like just walked out or quit or something, and she was snapping, but I try to come with the jokes, like I'm trying to be softer with the women, but she definitely was washing my hair real aggressive. Like, it was real. I was like, oh, this feels like waterboarding a little bit. This is a little strong. You need to take it easy. So yeah, no, absolutely. I've absolutely been in those situations where I'm like, I wish we could move this back to you when you calm down.
Right. And the other thing that and this one may be a little bit more to the point of like the masculinity thing, or me. My definition of masculinity, or understanding what I can and cannot do, you gotta help me with the waxing stuff.
Okay.
All right. So how did the idea first like pop into your head? Like, what's the necessity for doing it? Like, what's the protocol? And
okay,
like, were they ready for you when you walked in there? Or like?
Yeah. No. It was no. This was a whole thing. So last year I was having a conversation about women have it easier. And I think I was in a room full of women. I was in there. I was completely like outgunned in this situation. I don't even know how that whole thing came up, but I was like, women have it easier. And it wasn't like a chauvinistic thing. It was just like based on some things that I feel like society will move the goalposts for certain people. And so we had got into the conversation about like women in maintenance, like just, you know, all the stuff they got to do that they consider hygiene, or they consider whatever they got to do just for dudes, right? So mani-pedis, waxing, hair, lashes, makeup, blah, blah. And I'm like, damn, yeah, I never really thought about all of that stuff, right? So some type of way we ended up having a bet. I forgot what the bet was, but the bet was for me, I lost, and then it was for me to get a wax, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. It's fine. So we rolled around this year, and the person's like, yo, you still got to get that wax. And I'm like, all right, fuck it, man. So the other thing I've learned through like this whole pandemic thing is like, there's certain things I just want to try some stuff, right? I'm going to just try different things, see what's up, see what's cool, see if I like it or not. And I'm big on hygiene anyway. As a big dude, it's my biggest fear is to be walking around musty and the world knows it.
Right.
Like, because nobody ever says, hey, sir, you're musty. The first thing they're going to say to me is, hey, this fat ass nigga stinking. Like, and that feels terrible. But I don't want nobody to do that to me, because they always go throw fat in the front. So I'm always trying to walk around, be big and smell nice. So I go find a place. So here, for those of you that don't know, I live in Virginia Beach. So in Virginia Beach, or in Hampton Roads in general, where all the cities are kind of together, there's only 3 places that will do men. Right.
Okay.
So and they only offer Brazilian waxes. So I'm like, oh, all right. So we're going to see. So I find one that's the closest one to my house. It's $80. And I'm like, fuck it, man. I'm going to go see what's up. So I go Sunday in like the middle of the day. And when I get there, the lady is like, now here's the thing. So I'm also super like hyping myself up in this way of being like, I hope it's just like some old lady who like just does it and my body won't react to it. And they send me like, some lady who's not that much older than me with like a pretty cool body. Right. And I'm like, all right. So now I'm doing all the work on myself, like being like, hey, it's up to you now. You can't right. respond to anything. Just act like you don't see it. And so we get in there, and so whatever you think is happening, it's probably worse. So because also as men, we are taught from a very early age, do not put hot things near your genitals. Right.
Right.
Don't put hot things near your genitals.
You only got to make that mistake once.
That's it. That's That's it. You really only get you either, and not even you don't even have to make it. You can secondhand like learn from somebody else. Be right. Like, I tried to do it. Be like, know what? I'll never do that again. So obviously, above room temperature wax on all the parts of your twig and berries is not ideal, right? And then also, for those of you that don't know, Brazilian waxes include all the pieces beyond that.
Right.
So now I'm in here and I'm getting waxed and I'm like, oh man, it's not bad, because also on the flip, it also tests how strong, like I know people who say, I have a high tolerance for pain. So like, I feel like I do too, right? Like I can get tatted for hours and not think about it. Like I think the last time I got tatted for 5 hours straight and I fell asleep 3 times and I was like, oh snap. Okay. We almost done. Are we going to be done soon? But also pulling hair from your tender pieces of your body, it lets you know that you might not be as strong as you think you are. Right. So we get done. It's fine. And I'm like, damn, I can't tell. Like in my mind, when I first took the first picture for the first time I got waxed, shout out to her. I remember Cherry from the TOS podcast just posting like she was getting waxed, and it was a picture of just her knees, like her knees in the air or something like that. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to make fun of that. So I did the same thing, just being like, y'all know what's up. And then it became this thing because dudes started hitting me up after the fact and being like, so what was they doing in there? Like, what's it like? And I'm like, hey man, to be honest, I recommend that everybody try it at least once, because it's a hygiene thing for me. So it's the same reason, like, if like I get these weird looks when I go get like pedicures or something like that too, because people will look at me and be like, why are you in here? And I'm like, I just want to get my feet scraped. But also from years of working in warehouses, wearing boots and all the other stuff, like, I think that's another thing as men, we don't talk about a lot as far as like how we should be taking. I know like we're supposed to go to the doctor and all that other stuff, but we don't do things to take care of our body. Like we think if we lay on the sofa all day, it's like, all right, I did with my part. Like, so like, nah, I was like, yo, realistically, like take care of your feet, take care of your feet and hands, you know, take care of your body. And like I said, I'm big on hygiene anyway. So that I just put this under the hygiene column and was like, all right, I'll try this because I lost the bet. And so then the second time, which is the most recent picture, is like, now I'm making a conscious decision to go get this done now. Like, this is who I am now. I'm Brazilian Wax J now. So like, and I haven't had any, I've caught more flack for other stuff, like going outside and wearing like a headscarf for my hair, than somebody telling me like, oh wait, you get Brazilian waxes? Like what? Why are you doing that? I'm like, yeah, it's a thing.
Now, because for me, like actually, you know, when I see the post, like, it is ironically, like to me, the most masculine thing you could do, because that really is like the, you know, we celebrate Omarion for his unbotheredness, but to me, you got to be super unbothered to, you know, to decide to do it and then like talk about it publicly. Like I don't think I'm anywhere near there. Like, I can't imagine myself doing it. And again, another one of them things where I got to like dissect that and figure out where that comes from, why I feel that way, and is it necessary and everything. But yeah, like, I really feel like that's what the world or a lot of people have like just messed up about masculinity. When I was in rehab, there was a guy there, and he was like the brother of a NFL player. Mm-hmm. And he was tall. He was, you know, super muscular, worked out all the time, but he was, you know, flamboyantly gay. Like I think at one point, you know, he used to work at a strip club. Like he used to strip as a woman, like, you know.
Oh, wow.
And he would be telling me stories about having to tell dudes like, nah, you don't want these problems. Like he'd be trying to come on to him and be like, you know, had to change the voice up. Like, nah, homie, like move on. But you know, he one time got up and was having during a therapy session, and was talking to us about his struggles with you know, trying to learn how to be masculine and like watching us to see how to hold your hands and how to walk and stuff like that, because you know everything he knew how to do was feminine or emulating, you know, what he thought a woman was supposed to do. And I remember after that, you know, approaching him, and just, you know, having a conversation with him, like, dude, you might be the most masculine person here. Like, masculinity has nothing to do with your hand movements or your the way you walk or any other the sound of your voice. Like, you are a leader. You know, you command attention from other men. You have people that will follow you. You have people that will listen to you. And then the fact that you can, you being yourself, when I see you, you know, being yourself in certain situations, like, that shows to me, like, more masculinity than you trying to be something that you're not to appease the rest of us. And, yeah, so, I mean, and that's how I look at that. Like, I'm trying to find these spaces where I realize that I'm not enjoying myself or not taking advantage of opportunities and things because I'm worried about this perception, and especially my perception as a man. And, you know, and that really being the least manly thing I could do is be so worried about that kind of stuff. So yeah, when I saw those posts, definitely, you know, I admired you for it because I'm not there. And, I don't know if I'm going to do the waxing thing, but I'm looking at spaces where I could adjust, you know, and try something. I'm having a tea party. That's what I'm doing. I am having.
Yeah.
I'm throwing a tea party. Tea party.
No, you know what? I'm with that. I will fully attend, dress up and everything. I think the thing for me is like I was saying, as much as about the same thing about Black fathers, is like, we haven't created spaces, or if there are spaces, we're like afraid to be in them. And anytime I'm trying these things, I feel like I'm incredibly vulnerable, but I'm also in a space of being like, I'm doing this for me, right? Like, I'm not doing this for anybody. I'm not like, I'm not out here trying to be like, yo, I want to do this just to kind of get, you know, clout, you know, the way like people say it now. Like, I'm not just out here, oh, I'm gonna go get waxed and post it on the internet. Like, nah, I'm like legit being like, all right, like, let's just see what's up. And I've seen people, I've had comments where people are just like, you know, whatever, they try to say that it's like, it's not masculine or dude shouldn't be doing that. And that's crazy, because then I also get comments from women being like, yo, you should tell more dudes more they dudes. Should go get waxed. They should go get waxed. That's really one of the reasons why I'm like, I guess I'm gonna start going more often, is because more women have said to me, more women would be nastier or more pleasant or try more things with their dude if they shaved their bodies or if they did these things. And I was like, oh snap, I never really even thought about it. Like, I wasn't thinking about it for the women when I went. I just was like, I'm just going, like, to do it. Kind of the same thing with my hair. Like, I first started growing out my hair, and I had grown up in this space where I was supposed to always have my hair short. When I first was excited about seeing some growth in my hair, people would be like, yo, stop talking about your hair, or like, we don't care, or like that kind of thing. And I'm like, fam, I've never had 2-inch hair. Like, I've never had it. Like, I'm with you. I've had a fade my whole life. Like, I can go back and look at every kid picture and be like, yo, I've had this same fade in waves my whole life. Like, there's never been a time that I've been in a situation where I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, like, I grew it out. Even, I think there were pictures of me like as a baby with braids, and I can't even find those pictures.
Yeah.
So like, being able to like have locks or whatever now is kind of like this thing of like constant learning of like my body and you know, the way the world treats me. Like, I'm also in this space of where like you said, like, I want leadership roles, I want to do more with these companies. And it's also this thing where I have, you know, all these 36 years of, you need to be clean, you need to present, you need to do all this other stuff, and then going in these spaces where it's predominantly white with somebody who with new locks, right, they're still in that like nappy phase, right? So they're not super clean, they're not long enough where they're clean and individual, they're still kind of like, you know, still a little fuzzy. And, you know, trying to tell myself like, yo, it's not about what you look like, it's the skill set, this, that, and the third. But also being incredibly afraid, because that's what was told to me. Like, you keep your hair cut, you don't grow your beard out, you dress up like, you dress up a certain way. So it's kind of one of those things of constantly trying to fight back of like what I've been told and what I've been taught. So that's kind of where the little bit of the freedom kind of comes in as well.
Yeah, and it's weird because I'm struggling with it also in another arena, is that this whole, like, with my blackness, I want to do the air quotes. My daughter just started doing air quotes this week at 5 years old. I don't know why. She told me that that Mickey, air quotes, wants to marry Minnie. And I was like, why was the air quotes? Well, where did that even come from? But I'm struggling with it, with my blackness, because I have this, I live in Texas now, and I'm not around a lot of black people. And the black people I am around are not like, I don't want to do one coast versus the other, but they're not East Coast black, and that's a different, it's a different black. And so, yeah, I have this reputation of like, and people say it to me, and I take it because I know that they mean it as a compliment, which is part of the problem. But they say like, man, you the whitest black person I know, or, you know, like you don't act like other black people or whatever. And then I my initial reaction is to rebel against that by doing something like niggerish, like on the spot. Like, I just want to do, I need to start cursing, or, you know, change the way I'm holding my hands, or say, however many times I said nigga today, I need to double that, because they don't, you know, they're not respected. Yeah.
They're not afraid enough.
They're too comfortable around me. Yeah. And like the tea stuff and all the stuff I'm doing now, like, I just got some plants in the house, and now I'm taking care of these plants, and I'm looking up how to care for a ficus and shit like that. But I'm owning that part of it. Like, I'm enjoying this white bougie label or whatever. Like, cause I am black, and you can't take that away from me in any way, shape, or form or fashion. Right. But this is what I need to look at that in terms of manhood. Like, I am a man. So regardless of how you view my actions, they can't not be manly, because I am a man. Like, you know, this is a representation of how I feel as a black man, these things that I'm doing. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do. One of the things you brought up, and I didn't intend for this, like, to go down this whole masculinity rabbit hole, but I'm having fun. I had a conversation, because you talked about, like, women saying, you know, you should tell more dudes to do this. And I had a conversation with another female podcast. This was a while back, but she did a podcast. I know she posted something like a dude to stick their tongue in your ass or something, but won't talk to you about their feelings or something like that. And I think my response to her at the time was, yeah, because I probably trust your hygiene, you know, more than I trust, you know, your ability to keep a secret, or your ability to treat me like a human being. Like, you know, they want you to do these things, but a lot of the experiences that I've had have been like, if I do these things, you're going to be the first person to tell me to pull my skirt down, you know, like, you know, and I talked to her like, are you really ready to hear like man feelings? Like, are you really ready to have a dude that you involved with tell you that he's scared, or that he don't know how y'all going to make it through this situation, or he's worried, or, you know, or he's vulnerable, or he don't, you know, whatever, or he's insecure, or he feels inadequate. Are you ready to have them conversations? Are you not going to tell him stop being a bitch, or, you know, you're being too sensitive right now? Like, can we really do these things and be accepted, you know, by some of the people who really want us to do these things? I don't know. I'm almost at the point now where I'm like, being alone might be cool, because I just don't know if I could deal anymore. Like, I don't know. Sound like a woman right there.
No. It's definitely, it's funny enough that you said that. I just had this conversation yesterday, and I was like, a lot of times what happens is, without dudes saying it, it's the action of not feeling safe. Yeah. And we do a lot of shit where realistically, if you didn't feel safe, you wouldn't do this thing. It's like, nah, sometimes we just make bad decisions. Like, prime example, like, going to some girl you don't really know's house, right? Like, all right, we don't know. This could be a setup. This could be whatever, right? But like you said, like, you'll do all these nasty things and for the sake of pleasure, right? But being like, tell you how I feel, or tell you the things that I'm afraid of, or do whatever, or like you said, like, being able to tell you something that I'm afraid of, and you either comfort me or don't, or just listen, right? I don't feel safe enough that you won't take that and respond to me in a negative way. That'll shut me down even further, right? And so that's why a lot of times people get into these like situations where it feels like, you know, they were being open and honest and true, and that's not the case. And I know I stay in that space almost perpetually, mainly because like I do that a lot with people who I can easily make it feel like we're close, right?
Yeah.
Like you give me a little bit, I give you a little bit, but really, it doesn't. We're not close because I'm holding back and you probably holding back, and we trying to tell each other that we create these safe spaces, but that's not really it, because it only takes, even if it's something I tell you, like if I throw out something and it gets back to me from somebody who was not the person I told it to,
right?
Then I know, like, I can't really share with them, because you give them a little something just to see, like, you know what? I'm afraid of spiders. Like, you'd be like, oh shit, this nigga afraid of spiders, man. Your big ass afraid of spiders. All right, cool. Look, I'll never tell you some real shit I'm afraid of, right? Like, it'd be this whole, and we do this thing as people, like, we test each other, and all the other stuff too. And it's definitely in this space where you kind of like, I don't know if I want to be vulnerable with people. And I think that's the thing where people try to psych you out, especially if you're a man, like, the most manly thing you could do is be vulnerable with your feelings. Nah, it might be
the stupidest thing you could do.
Yeah, like, go be a lumberjack. That's some manly shit too. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here. I'm not doing that. Like, so like, this whole thing of like, I don't think there has been a space where, and I could absolutely be wrong, but I don't think there is a space created by the opposite sex where men get to feel safe, or even in the same space. Like, you could look at any spectrum where people just be like, LGBTQ stuff, where it's people don't feel safe amongst each other. Even with dudes, like, I try to create that space in text conversations that I have with the homies, mainly just being like, yo, man, if you know, like, fatherhood's scary, being, you know, somebody's partner is scary. I listen to people talking to me about getting out and dating again. Like, that's always wild. So like, it's all these different things, but it's like, you have to be able to create space with these people that you're connected to and be able to honestly be like, am I safe here? And if you're not, then like, yeah, you know, the conversation is going to be what it is, because it'll never grow or be as dope as it could be, because y'all are both like constantly holding back.
Yeah. It either happens that, you know, you get the reaction that you didn't want, you know, when you reveal these certain things about you, or they get used against you. You know, I think everybody's had the situation where the relationship is ending maybe badly, and they're like, yeah, that's why you listen to show tunes, you bitch ass nigga. So, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
You know, then they throw up all the stuff, all the things that you revealed about yourself to be vulnerable and to be connected, it gets thrown back at you. But trying to get over that too. I don't know. All right, so to move on to something less serious. I mean, this was an important conversation, though. I hope some people take some good things from it. You and I are both music folks, and I know a while back we had a conversation about when the Versus thing first started popping off, about the potential of a Beans versus Styles versus, you know, and I took the Styles end of it. And I mean, I don't know if it's just Philly loyalty or you really believe in Beans that much, but that was your man for that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, there's been some noise about a possible Noriega versus Beans versus. And I think I heard Beans' response, because, you know, he's pretty laid back with his with his gangster stuff. Like, if he gonna respond to you, it's just gonna be something simple like, come see me, something like that. But Nori's having way more fun with it, and it's all in fun. Like, I don't think he means any of the stuff he said, but like, he went pretty right. I pulled this from the Breakfast Club interview he did the other day. This was one of the most, I don't know, stinging disses to me. I'm gonna get your opinion on it.
So is this bad? Well, is this versus gonna happen? You versus Beanie Siegel?
Let's just be clear, MB, and I'm sorry you asked this question, because you from Queens, and I'm gonna make it very simple. The man can't get past the War Report album. I can definitively say Beans is a great artist. He's a great lyricist, but I'm not sure if he has classics. Classics Whoa. Is different.
Damn.
Classics is different. You know what I'm saying? Now if you take Jay-Z away from Beanie Siegel career, he's PM Dawn. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. Nori!
I mean, he clarified. He's having fun. He's having fun. But, oh, you take Jay away from Bean's career, he's PM Dawn. That got to hurt. That got to hurt.
And I'm a PM Dawn fan, and that's that's pretty rough. Like, I don't think that was called for. Yeah, I don't think that was called for. Yeah.
So I don't think I have to ask, but who were you siding with if that was to become a reality?
I mean, I'm going to root for Beans, but I mean, I don't know if he can't say he can't get past the War Report album, mainly because does Beans have classics? Yeah, it would be tough. It would be tough to say. I think he might have a classic album or something like that, but like songs that we can kind of pull from, like, yeah, like Blood Money, all these TONY stuff, even the Melvin Flynn stuff, even the early Pharrell stuff, because a lot of that stuff is the lyrics ain't the thing about Nori, them lyrics ain't gonna win.
No.
It's gonna be a lot of the early Pharrell work. It's gonna be a lot of the, you know, stuff he did with Capone, all that other stuff. And granted, a lot of the stuff with Bean, some of the lyrics will hit, but some of those beats may not go over because it's not a lot of Just Blaze stuff over there. A lot of Bean stuff is gonna be feature work. It's not gonna be solo songs. So you know, you're gonna get like a Rock the Mic. You're gonna get his song, you know, the What We Do.
Verse,
like all of that kind of stuff. I don't think it's gonna be a ton of. I don't think it's gonna be a ton of solo Bean songs. I mean, like, what you gonna get? Like, you'll probably get like Mac, bitch.
You gotta get Feel It in the Air.
Yeah, you'll get Feel It in the Air. You'll probably get The Truth. Nothing Like It. That's gonna be those, like, so nothing. All that, like, Nothing Like It is gonna be a lot of those like early Kanye verses too, or Kanye beats. I mean,
Bread and Butter is one of my favorites. I like that one.
Yeah, I like Mac and Brad. Mac and Brad is one of my favorite songs. So it's him and Scarface. Yeah, you're gonna get a lot of that stuff, man. Get Down, all them other songs. I mean, if we pull in the stuff, the soundtracks from State Property 1 and 2. So you might get some of that stuff, but yeah, does he have 20? I don't know if he's got 20. I have to go through and look at a whole bunch of. I have made the playlist too.
I got a Styles playlist.
I made a playlist, and I was like, I'm gonna have to go through and see. But realistically, I don't know what they could pull. I mean, I don't even know if Nori's got a solid 20. He got something that you could. It's like Spades almost. Like Versus is becoming more like Spades. Like I'm gonna throw this out here and see if it walk. Like that is one of those things.
Yeah, a lot of times is what you respond with. Like, you know, you might get past one of the hits if you save your biggest hit for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you don't respond with the right song, somebody could, and it could slide a 10 through and it could walk.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah, somebody could definitely like, yeah, you could slide through it and walk a jack out here. You'd be like, nah. All right, I'm going to let it slide. But yeah, realistically, yeah, I mean, once you get past all the other stuff, and to be honest, after the CNN stuff, Nori's going to give you maybe two or three solid albums. I mean, because all the other stuff after he put out that song, Nothing.
Yeah.
What else is there? Because I know he went reggaeton for like two albums and he was just doing stuff. I mean, that's the way I feel about Fat Joe. Like, does Fat Joe have a solid 20?
When I look at a lot of these verses, like, it really is calling into question to me, like, my hip-hop knowledge or whatever. Because, yeah, you said, like, I can't think of a solid 20 really for either of them. And I think the only difference between, I won't say the only difference, because Beans is clearly more lyrical, but Beans is so gangster, he don't make radio songs. Like, he don't make club songs. Like, he makes... shit that you listen to in your car or, you know, at home, if you in that mood or, you know, whatever. Like, he don't make club hits. And Nori does have enough personality. Nori got way more personality. I think Nori would win the verses, because especially when you're doing it, like, on camera, like, you got to have the personality to pull it off. Like, the Jada versus Fab joint, I think Jada just had way more personality. And he got stupid drunk like halfway through. So it was, you was just rooting for him because he was having fun and it was funny as shit. But and Beans is never going to do that like that. He just don't. It might be back to the masculinity conversation. Like, he just don't have that. Like, I'm gonna put on a show. I don't know. I ain't never been to a Beans show. Maybe he does put on a show on stage. I just don't see it. Like, Nori went in. Like, that whole interview on the Breakfast Club of him, like, baiting Beans into this battle is hilarious. And Beans would never respond in a way that would match the showmanship of that.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't think so either. I think the thing for sure is, like, I think it's when people start picking their own verses, I know that they're not picking their equal. Right? Like, it's me and somebody being like, oh, I'm good enough as this person. It's always somebody who's like super delusional. Like, it's being like, I should go up against this person. You're like, no, you have 3 radio songs.
Right.
And this person's been on the radio since they was a child. Like, no, man, no, you shouldn't go up against them at all. Or they didn't drop 3 number one songs in a year, like, for the last 10 years. You're not going up against them, man. Knock it off. Yeah, but Beans is kind of like you said, the same way. Like, he's not really with all the rah-rah stuff. He just either, like, just put up the bag, I'll show up.
Right.
Kind of thing. Like more or less somebody did that the other day. Was telling me, oh, I guess it's a concert. There's some type of tour, speaking of the styles. But, like, there's a Lox and Dipset tour happening. And they're like, yo, they're in town. You should come see them. And I was in my head like, would we rather see the Lox versus Dipset in Versus? Or do we still want to see the Dipset versus G-Unit?
Man.
Because does that make sense?
Man, that's a good one. I hadn't even heard that one. I don't know. Like, I've really come to appreciate, I can't think of his name all of a sudden, the Capo, what is, Jim Jones. Come to appreciate Jim Jones' ability, you know, lyrically, just recently. But, you know, when the Dipset was first popping off, to me, like, he was the weakest link.
For sure.
And then who is G-Unit anymore anyway? Like, would it be 50 and Lloyd? And, they're not going to let Young Buck back in the crew just for this, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know how we would do that or, like, what songs would they play. But, I know what songs they would play. Let me take that back. I don't know who would be in attendance. Because, like, yeah, like you said, like, are you going to Game was a last resort. Not, like, last resort, but he kind of showed up late. Are y'all going to try to do Antonio? He was in jail for a lot of their popularity, so...
Right, and then truly the weakest link. That's wrong.
No, for sure. No, you're not wrong. So like, yeah, I don't even know how they do that. Like, how do they set that up? And, like, can you get those dudes to say, I think the Lox had did an interview about them going up against somebody in Versus. And he was like, I think Jada had said this, like, first of all, a lot of the groups that you want to put us up against, they ain't even speaking to each other.
Right. He was like, yeah, the whole squad got to show up. You got to get a whole squad to show up first.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get them to agree with each other. Then they don't even like each other or speak to each other no more. So you couldn't even get them in the same room with us. So, like, yeah, how would you even set that up? So, yeah, realistically, to get people to show up, I guess it probably could be Lox and Dipset. Because, yeah, like you said, Gene is just destroyed. So, realistically, I don't even know what you do. And where do you cut it off at? Like, do you stick to the group cuts or do you stick to solo songs, or like, where are we going to? Because 20 might not be enough.
Right. Yeah, coming. And then with the Lox, my thing would be, would it turn into like Styles and Jada versus Dipset? Or like every once in a while, Sheik get to say something. And no diss to Sheik. Yeah. I like him, but... Again, I feel like in every group, it's always like that. It's always, you know, you got your heavy hitters and then you got the other dude, you know? And it's like, and Sheik is nice, but he's not Styles and Jada. And I don't know who Sheik matches up again. I would have said Jim Jones, but I think right now I see Jim Jones in another league. But I'm getting in trouble. Like, Santana. Some New York dude is going to come see me. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, they're probably gonna, they're not gonna be too excited about this. realistically, who could I see? Like, yeah, I think I would flip the rotation. So it would be the Santana stuff versus Sheik, a lot of the more recent Jim Jones stuff versus Styles, and then Cam and Jada, I guess. Yeah, because even the G-Unit stuff, I don't know who you put to take on Lloyd Banks and all that other stuff, but yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and I think that's the kind of the situation where we really have to start talking about, are we looking for commercial success, or are we doing cultural impact? Because I think that's the reason why I would like to see more of the older hip hop acts kind of get some stuff too. Like, I was in the barbershop today thinking about like who would go up against LL Cool J, right? Like who, like if they got LL to agree to one, like who would they go get against him?
See, LL is delusional too. Like, and again, like all the New Yorkers just gonna hate me, but he's delusional too because they've had this conversation with him, and I think he wanted Jay. I'm like, LL, you dope. You, we cannot discount your impact on the hip hop, you know, on hip hop in general. But I don't see how you believe, especially in a versus, you could stand toe to toe with Jay-Z. I don't see it.
Yeah, that feels like too much of a reach.
Yeah. But that's like, he only wants like a Jay-Z caliber opponent. I don't think the people that we would say would be an even match, he would feel disrespected by, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think all of those old dudes feel like that, though, too. Because, like, yeah, like, who do you get against KRS-One? Who do you get against, like, these things? And I would like to see, realistically, the stuff that we used to talk about when it was on Apple or when it was just exclusively on Instagram. But, like, I want to start seeing some of the other groups that maybe don't have as much success, but they got a good 10 songs that they could put together. Right? Like, I would like to see Little Brother kind of put something together.
To me... Cause I don't understand how you would like mix genres, and I don't understand that. I can't have this conversation without fucking up. But like, I'm trying to think of who would fit in the same like space as a Lil Brother. And when I think of groups, it would have to be somebody like Tribe. But then Tribe is legendary. Not to say Lil Brother isn't, but that's a different.
Yeah, no, this yeah. So Tribe, it'd be like a Tribe De La Soul thing for me. Yeah. Like if I had to go pick those two, like, all right, cool. These are the two that I'm gonna pick against each other, like groups. Lil Brother would probably be yeah, like that's tough. Like you gotta find like, cause you gotta find two people that you could realistically like put out in here. That would be kind of tough to do. And even it, well, yeah, no, cause I don't think a lot of people bought like Who's solo stuff. So I'm like, I'm like, just, but I want them to get a shine too. Like, I think if this, we trying to celebrate everybody in the culture, I think it can't just be everybody who went number one and has met like multi-platinum hits. Like, I think if we're going to be celebrating people, then we need to do it across the spectrum, right? Like, I would love another, like, Layla Hathaway legacy situation, right? Or we do something, because like, you can't, I understand you want to build it up with the big names, you have access to them, but then like also you want all these other people to do well. I don't know who you put against Little Brother in that time frame, because like, who,
maybe, yeah, like
who
a Slum Village, so I don't know.
But
again, that's another one of them groups, like who is Slum Village anymore? Could you get, I think, you know, Baton is passed, it's like how who would you,
yeah. So do you just get, you get Elzai and
T3 to just come,
yeah,
out?
Somebody, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you do something like that. You could do some of these like super lyrical monster type situations where you do like a Pharoah Monch and Pharoah Monch and Lupe or something, yeah. Or something like, yeah. So you do like stuff like that where you want to celebrate. And that's what I wanted to see. With the, oh, okay, well, we chose Triller over Apple, so we, that way we can celebrate more people. But I'm like, oh, it just seems like you're doing bigger names on a worse platform. Like, so I would love to see these situations where even like the mixtape dudes, like, you know, get their love. But yeah, it's tough. As far as, so back, you know, like down this rabbit hole of verses, but like this situation, I don't think it's a good setup. I think it should be Nori versus Fat Joe. Okay. I don't know if it should be Beans and Nori, because it seems like it's a walk in the park for Nori.
Just because he got the radio hits.
Right. Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah. You're going to play Super Thug and all them other songs, and then everybody going to go crazy, and then Beans going to play I'll break in your house and shoot your grandmother type shit. And you'll be like, I don't really know if I can dance to this.
Right. Right. I don't know. There was a time where, like, before this conversation, before I hit record on this show, I was like, I think I could, because, I've heard you on Twitter, you know, big up your playlist game. And I'm like, I think I could run with Jay on the playlist thing. Like, we talked about the Beans and Styles thing, and, you know, you got your playlist, I got mine. Like, we could do it. Like, we could just do, like, our hip-hop versus my hip-hop versus his hip-hop or whatever. And then when I realized you know who Salt is and like, know their discography, I'm like, all right, yeah, that's, I'm not in the same league with this dude. I'm going to go ahead and trash that idea. But I almost feel like that would be a cool thing at some point. Like, just like you said, taking it away from commercial success and then maybe like a bar for bar type versus, like, you know, is it like, let's get down like what you appreciate about the music. Like, lyrically, can this dude stand with this dude bar for bar, whether it's a hit or not, like verse for verse, like, you know, who's the nicest? But
yeah, I think we need more of that. I think we do this thing where it's people like you and me, like, we having these like off the beaten path conversations about who is dope, and you know, giving them their credit. And I think that's the thing for me. I know we both work in tech, or, you know, worked in tech for a while. So like, a lot of my early music game or listening to different music really came while I was coding. So I listened to like anything, because you got to be in here and just writing handwritten JavaScript.
Yeah.
it was like, all right, look, man, I have to get in here and just get in my zone. And sometimes you'll hear a dope song and it'll stick out to you, or you'll remember where it's from. But yeah, hours of writing code is how I really got deeper. Like, I got really deep into music in situations where nothing was kind of given to us and we didn't use these pre-made packages. So we had to build everything on our own. And so that's kind of where my appreciation for music came from. And I think also, like, living where music was heavy in the house, you know, like going back and forth to DC and all that other stuff where music was constantly played live and recorded. So it's this thing where my appreciation for music really runs deep, but it's also in a space where I want other people to feel the same way we feel about music, right? Like,
yeah,
not just bringing, and I know you don't do this, but I know, because you do it from a genuine place, but not just bringing Rhapsody up when we talking about women who are half dressed, not just bringing up J. Cole when the conversation of mumble rap comes around, right. Not just bringing up whoever you like, or whoever you think is better when the conversation isn't going your way. Like, you're trying to get out here and throw this, like, you know, throw down the Ace or Big Joker when the conversation ain't going your way and you ain't really got nothing else to stand on. So, like, yeah, this, you want to show appreciation before it gets to that point.
Yeah, and I mean, and not to get too nerdy, but, you know, when you're talking about the coding thing, like, as a person that tried their hand, thought he was a rapper at one point, like, I almost look at him the same way, like a dope bar and a vicious loop or a crazy algorithm, to me, like, is the same. They took the same amount of creativity and stuff. Like, you had to be skilled enough to do that, like, to create right. that. And, but yeah, I fall into that trap too of wanting other people to appreciate music the same way I do. And it's just, my mom said it to me the best. Like, 'cause we would have conversations about hip hop and rap when I was trying to be a rapper. And to her, it was just all noise. And I'd be pointing out these songs. Like, I'd be playing her Lupe and like J Live and something, like, pointing out these super, you know, impactful and well-crafted songs to her. And she said to me, she's like, I don't listen to music to think. God damn, that they hurt. Like, that was like a slug to the chest. Like, I don't listen to music to think. I want to be entertained. And my mom is like big into classical, and, you know, she's the reason I listen to show tunes and stuff like that. But like, yeah, you know, I can't ever expect her to appreciate music the same way I do. And I have to still trying to deal with that to this day. It hurts.
No, I think that I was the opposite. Like, that's what happened to me. Like, I was listening to music to be entertained, and I think somebody, it might have been my older brother, it was just like, listen to how technical these people are when they rap. Like, listen to how Biggie jumps, like he stretches these vowels or syllables or does this thing to switch to the next verse, or switch to the next line, or switch to the next bar. And then kind of the same way, like listening to all these other people being like super technical. And I think I really got in my like rap nerd bag once I had to openly defend Cardi B's Bodak Yellow, being like, listen how technical this song is, right?
Not you.
I had to do it. I had to do it. And it was technically, from a technical rap standpoint, it is a very good song. and I had to be like, this is why it's technical. Or more technical, in a way of Big Crit's Mount Olympus. Like, those are the things where you're like, this, listen to how technical this is with this song, like the switching of the styles, the how the words flow, how the bars lay, like all that other stuff. So yeah, I found myself in a situation defending Cardi B's Bodak Yellow and then being like, I might be a whole rap nerd now.
I mean, just because you brought her up, I gotta do it. I gotta get my Cardi B disclaimers. Cardi B makes music for women to wash paper plates. Cardi B makes the soundtrack for Bad Decisions, and Cardi B makes music for women to bite the hot dog in the middle. These are my feelings about her, and I have to say, anytime somebody brings her up and tries to defend it, I gotta throw it out there. And I don't truly believe she writes all her stuff. I'm getting in all kinds of trouble today.
Yeah, I feel like you're not. This episode might not do a lot of downloads in the New York region.
This is what I love New Yorkers. They're the only people that pronounce my name correctly. So. They hit the Jared. They get them A's.
Yeah.
They do that. So I fucks with New York. I love y'all. And Jay-Z is the greatest. He, you know, like, just because I like every New York artist don't mean I got a problem with New York. But I don't know. Let me try to get off that hill before I die up there. Those are really the topics I have for you today. It was good. You know, like we haven't chopped it up in a minute. So this was a good conversation. I think we hit on some impactful points. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to touch on before we get out of here? Anything you got going on you want to tell the folks about?
No. I don't have anything. I'm still in limbo if I'm going to retire from podcasting and be a full-time CEO for this podcast network. I'm working on stuff for Pod Dealers. Hopefully, I'm trying to broker some deals so that every podcast on Pod Dealers can start doing something or have some endorsements. We have only found single deals thus far, and so they don't work for me. I want either we all eat or nobody eat, so that's kind of where we are right now. But outside of that, no. If you want to find me, I just changed my name from Just Say Words Pod on Twitter to J Got Jokes, because that's kind of what I do. I just tell jokes now. I'm working on hosting more events. I would love to host more digital events. I would love to work with most people. I also do marketing and marketing consulting for brands. So if you see J Got Jokes, don't ask me there. Go look on Instagram. But yeah, I'm around. I'm always here. I'm available for more guest spots. I'm trying to figure out if I still want to do podcasting. If not, I feel like I like creating it more with other people than I do personally. So that's kind of where I am in that space right now.
Gosh. All right. So real quick on the marketing tip, I did want to ask you this. I submitted my podcast. I didn't submit it. Somebody asked if they could, you know, use my podcast for their review podcast. I don't know if you heard the episode, but I got destroyed. Like, it was, I never promoted it. I never told nobody I was on the show because I don't want nobody listening to it.
No, you got to send me that link now. I got to see it.
They killed me. But one of their criticisms of the show was, I guess they went all the way back. It was the premise of this person's show was that they listened to one full episode, you know, during their episode, and they critique the podcast from there. This person never got past my intro. And one of their one of the biggest criticisms of the show was that I have not changed the intro music in 4 years. And I know the intro music still got Rich on it, and because Rich is always going to be my homie, you know, regardless. Yeah. And I mean, is that a thing? Like, you supposed to switch it up every so often or something? Or?
So, yeah. So when it comes from this point, for especially podcast marketing, they do this thing. If you are a brand, right? Like, in this thing now, podcasters are trying to become brands. I changed my podcast music. I think I had like these milestones. Like, once I hit 200, I'm gonna change the music. Once I hit 300, I'm gonna change the music. Realistically, staying consistent is what people like. So you keeping it up there. I know specifically why you kept that the same stuff, right? Yeah. So like it's good to hear Rich on there. It's good that you guys are still connected in that way. I think the thing for me, especially when there's these podcasts that review other podcasts, it's all these like secondhand, like it's all these secondhand thoughts about what you should and shouldn't be doing. Realistically, there are podcasts that get tons of views and tons of downloads and all that other stuff that are terrible shows. So you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah. I took a Glenn from the Glenn and Her podcast. He and I had a dope conversation and he was just saying to me, like, if he puts something out and it only gets, 12 views or something like that, he doesn't think it's bad content. He just thinks it only got to 12 people. Like if I can get it to more people, you know, it would do better. It's not that I'm doing something wrong. So I'm trying to take that, like, wherever I'm at right now is only because I've only been able to get this in this many people's hands. When I get it into more hands, it'll grow or whatever. Right. I don't know. But yeah, the usual calls to action, Zaya Fitness, my homie on Instagram, hit him up, ZAYAH Fitness. If you're looking to do something with your nutrition goals, with your fitness goals, he's the guru. He can get you where you need to be. So hit him up, ZAYAH Fitness on Instagram. TT Charities, as always, if you're looking for ways to be impactful, especially in times like this, you want a way to have some influence on what's going on around you and do it in a positive, productive manner, ttcharities.org. Hit up the website. They always got something going on. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothes, a like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. And then I got my stuff, whatistws.com and definefunctional.com. I'm still working on getting more episodes of Define Functional out there, but that'll happen. But I do have the merch. I got all kinds of shirts. Like I said, if I say it twice, I'm putting it on a shirt. So it's a million things out there. Check it out. Coupon code algorithm. We'll get you 20% off your entire order. It's the summer of the algorithm. Do it for the algorithm. Let me say algorithm one more time for the algorithm. But other than that, that's all I got. I appreciate you, Jay, for hanging out with me and having this dope-ass conversation with me.
Yeah, man.
Definitely got to do it again. I'm going to lead out with the first time I heard Beans. I figured I'd do some more Philly stuff because you're here. First time I heard Beans was on a Roots record, so I wanted to do that. And so I'm going to lead out with that. But until we speak again, be safe, be cool, be the light, and I love y'all. All right.
They used to talk shit, but I'ma quiet them. Kicking the door with my boys that deride them. First nigga that flinch, I'ma fire him. Tape him up, grip his hands, and ply them. Know the bricks is in here, where you hiding them? Don't die in the shit that you lying in. I used to get front of bricks, now I'm buying them. Used to cop off my man, and I'm supplying him. Play the front row seat, watch